That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
that
will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We are coming to you live this morning from the Radio Ranch. February 27th, almost the end of February. Can you believe it? This year we've got two more days instead of just one. It's a leap year, but that's all right. So we do welcome you here. We say good morning, and good morning, men. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And good morning, John.
Good morning.
And just want to say again, good morning to you, Remnant. Good morning, Lord. What a beautiful sunrise. Blue skies we have had. Yesterday was a spring-like day here at the Radio Ranch. Beautiful outside. And we're sure thankful for that. I think we got a little snow coming first of the week, a little storm brewing out west, but that's all right. The Lord knows what he's doing. Well, we'll open the phone lines up. Probably have I know we have a couple of current events to talk about. You might hear a scripture being read. You just never know. But that's kind of what we do here on Coffee with the Wranglers. And John, if you'll open us with prayer, we'll go from there.
Sure. Heavenly Father, we do come before you humbly this morning, Lord, asking for your blessings to be upon this assembly of the saints, Lord, that you would guide and direct us, give us wisdom and understanding, and that the Holy Spirit would speak through us, Lord, what it is that you want your remnant to hear. With all the events going on in the world, Lord, those that come to steal, kill, and destroy, conspiring to destroy your people, we know that it's nothing but the blood of Jesus that will protect us, Lord. And we claim that blood right now upon us, our families, all those that will not bow their knee to Baal, boldly proclaim no king but King Jesus. Hear us, Lord, as we cry out, save us, Jesus. Save us. Lord, your word says in the last days that knowledge would increase, men would run to and fro, not being able to find that knowledge. Lord, we do ask that you would continue to reveal to your people, Lord, the faithful remnant, those hidden truths, Lord, those truths that are in the living word that have been there the whole time but would not be revealed until the proper time. Lord, we can see that the writing's on the wall. We can see that we're in the 11th and three-quarter hour. We continue to cry out for grace and mercy for your people, Lord, those that can come to repentance, those that have eyes to see and ears to hear, that they would understand the importance of dying to their old life, going into that watery grave of baptism, coming out white as snow, gift of the Holy Spirit, clothed with you, and their names entered into the Lamb's Book of Life. Lord, that's been the purpose of this ministry for almost 40 years, is to try to remove the scales from your people's eyes and unstop their ears, to warn them that there are those that come to steal, kill, and destroy, that seek to destroy your people. Lord, we just pray a hedge of angels, a ring of fire, and a shield of light around all that are yours, Lord, their families, and all that you've blessed them with. Lord, we ask that you would cause those that dig the pit to fall into it, those that lay the snare to be entrapped in it, those that seek to destroy your people to be destroyed. Remove the crust that the world tries to put upon our hearts, Lord. Give us that soft heart. Give us the eyes to see these things that are going on around us, Lord. Give us the eyes to see this evil. Let us hear from you, Lord, what it is you would have us to do. We know that throughout the Old Testament, it wasn't the Israelites that won the battle, but it was you, Lord, that fought the battle before they even fought it. And you gave them the victory. And Lord, we're asking for that. We're asking for you to guide and direct us, just as you did Gideon and Joshua, so many other of your prophets, Lord. Lead us. Show us what it is you would have us to do. And as we approach this time of this family gathering in Branson this year in June, Lord, we ask even now you prepare your people's hearts and minds and souls, that you go ahead of us, Lord, to that facility, and that you cleanse it of any impure spirits, Lord, that you station your angels outside those gates, and that you would let none enter that do not follow you, Lord, the true followers of Jesus Christ. Bless this time of fellowship today. Grant us your anointing and your blessings. Lord, convict your people across this country of what it is that you want us to talk about today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, another interesting week. You get news from the news stations. You get good news, of course, from the Bible. Hopefully you're reading your Bible. It's almost March. We've been sending out the Bible reading plan with the orders that we have here. It's also posted at our website, scriptures4america.org. Each month is up there, right on the home page. Again, scriptures4america.org. You can click right there on the left at the Bible reading plan, and it'll let you download a month at a time or the whole year. And the Bible reading plan is a little different this year. It's reading a chapter or two of the Old Testament and part of the New Testament as well. And I like that plan a little bit better. I've been pretty good about following it so far. Caught up right now, and it's important, I think, for us to we try to mention it here to you, just as a reminder to you, the remnant, to read your Bible, to make time for it, with everything that's going on in the world, from work and children and sports and just everything that's going on. Just want to remind you, read your word. read your word. And that's not an end, that's a beginning. If you'll read it, you'll learn things, you'll read things in that Old Testament that you didn't understand before. You'll see things in this new as well. And again, reading's not an end. That doesn't take care of it. It helps build faith. It helps draw you closer to God. It helps you see what, you know, you learn when you read the Bible, what the character of God is, what He likes and what He dislikes. You know, when you've known somebody for a while, you know the things that they do if they're what we call in character or out of character. Okay? And because you know somebody. Well, if you don't know somebody and they do something, you don't know if that's part of their character, part of kind of what they normally do or not. But when you read through, when you read this Bible story, you start to learn that character of God. And, of course, the reading is one thing, and the application is another. But you can't apply it if you don't know it. And so we do. We encourage you. Read your word. They are an encouragement. And we have that Bible reading plan. We'll be sending it out again with the orders, just to, again, as another reminder. But if you'd like it, maybe you don't have the internet. Maybe you don't have a printer. If you want to contact us, we'll be glad to send you one. We sent the annual calendar out, the Bible reading plan calendar out, the end of 2015. But we'll be glad to send you one. Our address, if you want to write to us, is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. Be glad to do that. You know, occasionally you might lose something. You know, sometimes you might misplace your Bible or, you know, your car keys or your cell phone. It seems that Germany has lost 130,000 registered, they're calling them migrants. You guys heard anything about that? Yeah. German authorities don't know the whereabouts of 130,000 asylum seekers. And that's out of the 1.1 million that have registered in 2015, not since 2015, in 2015. 13%.
Yeah, see, and I have a hard time believing that they know where that 1.1 million are to begin with. I mean, you know, that's what they're finding out is they're coming in, and next thing you know, they're just gone. That's what's happened. That every place that they've been going, as far as this eight invasion is concerned, they come in, and you know. They vanish. They go back to, you know, to doing their thing, and you know, they can't keep track of them anywhere. They can't, you know, I have a hard time believing that they've only supposedly lost just over 100,000.
Yeah.
Because you know, when they're asked, you know, where are they, what are they doing, they don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's just the fact of the matter. You know, you look at this you know, the situation, you know, it was interesting because this week, you know, the CEO, founder of Facebook came out and, you know, one of his, he was all bent out of shape and he said, you know, we need to stop the hate speech against these migrants and immigrants that are on Facebook. And, you know, there was a lot of people that actually worked for Facebook, and they crossed out the thing that said on their Facebook. I guess I'm not a Facebooker, so I don't know anything. I know enough about it. I mean, I could get around it, but you know, it's. I guess they had a thing that you could pop that popped up and talked about Black Lives Matter, and you could circle it or something. I don't know how it worked. But there was a bunch of people that crossed it out and put on there All Lives Matter. And supposedly when you do that, that's the new, they've turned it into the new, it's a racial slur. It's being a racist if
yeah.
you say that,
that all
lives matter instead of Black Lives Matter.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can bet it puts you on a list too. That's all that is government gathering information.
It is. It is, absolutely.
They even admit it, but people are so stupid.
Yeah.
They're like, well, I can't live without my Facebook. Well, you may not.
Yeah, but just understand that anything and everything you put on there is trackable, traceable, You know, they have computer programs that will check all the social media. You know, we had a bad wreck up here in up in Wyoming out on Interstate 80 back last spring, and even Wyoming Office of Homeland Security was monitoring Facebook, tweets, twat, all of whatever they are. I don't know what all they are. But the Snapchats and everything, and they were getting a ton of information about these wrecks because they were out, you know, in a rural area, 20 miles outside of just Little Laramie. But the Wyoming Department of Homeland Security, Homeland Security Wyoming branch, whatever they call it, they were monitoring, and they gathered tons of information basically in real time because that's what they do. They monitor those types of social media. And, you know, the people are putting all this information up there. Well, guess what? If you're putting it up about anything, and I just use that as an example, that, you know, those things are in place. And so any of your social media, yeah, and don't think you're not egged on. Don't think that guy that marks that Black Lives Matter out and says all lives matter, oh, that's a racist. That's a domestic terrorist. Anyway, John, sorry.
Well, the other thing that people don't realize is that everything that you put on Facebook, all the pictures, all the information, everything is owned by Facebook. If you read that contract, at least that's what I've been told and what I've read about. So,
and it's on there for life, too.
Yeah, and don't think that someday... I mean, they're just saving all of this stuff if they ever have to use it against you at some point.
Right. Yeah, you'll see it. Somebody will get arrested for this or that, and, you know, especially somebody that is something gun-related. And if you read the news articles that they put out, you know, the sheriff or somebody will tell you, yeah, on his Facebook page, here's a Facebook photo showing him shooting a gun or this or that. And it might be from 10 or 12 years ago. But you're right.
Yeah.
And so, again, you know, it's coffee time. Our job, Remnant, is to warn you because people don't realize that today. They don't realize that the social media posts that are out there are public information and that they are scanned and gathered and kept. And, you know, the old anything you say will, you know, can and will be used against you in a court of law. Well, anything you've put up there can and will. That's the way they'd like to look at it.
those predators, the sexual deviants, they monitor that stuff as well. So when you go putting pictures up of your children and your family and stuff, just be leery.
Yeah, be aware. Be aware. Well, we have the phone lines open this morning, folks. If you want to call in, 307-745-5913. And Jason, you just got back from a visit out to the shortwave station. Do you have anything you want to share with the Remnant about that?
No, successful trip. You know, I mean, it's one of the, you know, I mean, people, you know, really don't realize how much you know, equipment that we use here at the Radio Ranch, and between the church building and between the, you know, the offices, and I mean. You know, it's times are changing and equipment changes, and it changes on a really regular basis. And you know, it's one of those things where it's not that you got to have the latest, greatest, you know, best equipment by any means. I mean, we're far from that, but you know, there's a lot of things that that change that you have to change. I mean, if you look at the audio formats, the video formats that have. And how much they've changed over, you know, even the last, you know, 20 years. It's pretty amazing. And, you know, it's one of those things where you've got to really stay with it, and there are certain things that are upgrading. I mean, you know, and, you know, just, you know, sometimes I think it's important for people to know that, you know, some of the, you know, like some of the equipment that we use at the church, you know, it's, you know, it was purchased, you know, close to 15 years ago, and it, you know, it's a lot of stuff, you know, as time goes on, stuff wears out, and you know, it's got to be replaced, and computers need to be replaced, and you know, sound cards and video cards and video cameras and stuff like that. I mean,
keep anointing it.
Yeah, exactly, and that's one of the things that we do. And you know, some of the equipment that we've used, I've had people that have looked at it and they're like, I can't believe that you're using this. This is, you know, this is a fossil. And yep. You know, in the video industry, yes, it is. They said, you know, I mean, some of the equipment that we've had for 12 years has been, you know, has a 7-year lifespan.
Right.
You know, so you're at almost 200% of the lifespan of what, you know, a piece of equipment is. You know, praise the Lord. I mean, that's answered prayer. But, you know, it's one of those things that you've always got to keep in the back of your mind if something fails or when something does need to be replaced. You know, how do I do it? What do I do? And, you know, how can I do it cost effectively? You know, and there's things that are involved in that, but you know, you got to do it cost effectively, but you want to get a good product too, because I mean, there's a lot of junk out there. So that's what a lot of, you know, the different things that, you know, that we try to keep in the back of our minds are, is, you know, what is something that, you know, will serve our needs? Because, you know, when you're broadcasting on shortwave and you're broadcasting and you're trying to archive things, you make CDs available and you're streaming on the internet, you know, there's a lot of different equipment that's specialized, you know, maybe for a television station or maybe for a radio station or maybe for, you know, this aspect of things. You know, and we're kind of a hybrid. We do things a lot different than a lot of people. We make a lot of different things available. You know, we're streaming 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're on satellite. We're on shortwave. We're, you know, make the CDs of the broadcast available to people and do the podcast thing. So it's when you're in a different, unique situation like that, there's different things. You really got to cut a wide swath, and you really have to hit a lot of different things. So those are things that you got to keep in mind. And it's not like, you know, the equipment that we're talking about, you can't go down to Radio Shack and just pick it off the shelf and buy it. You know, it's a lot of it's fairly specialized, and you've got to figure out, okay, now that things have changed, what can I use and what will fulfill our needs here as a ministry? And so, I mean, it can be challenging at times, but it's, you know, it's an exciting thing, and it's always it's always important to, you know, keep on top of things like that for future use. And so, you know, a very beneficial trip.
Well, good. Fantastic. And I know the people like to get those updates to know that you know, we're doing that very thing. Well, guys, the phone lines are ringing. Let's take a couple calls this morning. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Morning, man. This is Tom Montana. How are you, man?
Morning, Tom. How are you?
Doing well.
Morning. Doing
we're
well,
doing
Tom.
Great. We're doing well. Say, Jason was mentioning that Germany's misplaced a whole bunch of the locust invaders that have moved in on them. Well, I was,
yeah,
was tuning through the radio here the other night, and I caught a little blurb on the radio how the town council in a little town right around, it was near Albuquerque, I can't remember the name of the town now, but in the last 3 years, they've grown from like 5,000 residents. The second year, they were 30,000 residents, and now they're up to 90,000 residents, and they're wanting to pass a mill levy, of course, because they're just being overwhelmed, and there's no places for these poor folks to go, and you just got to feel really bad for them, and you got to love them, you know, brother. And so we got to raise your taxes so that we can harden the infrastructure for them.
Yeah.
And
wow.
I just thought that was interesting. It's not just in Germany where they're misplacing them all.
No. Well, you look at California, at the massive growth that's gone on out there in the last, even just in the last generation. And you have whole towns that have gone, you know, huge cities that have gone bankrupt for that very reason, Tom. Is, you know, they have this massive influx of illegal invaders that, you know, require medical services and food services and social services and schooling and all this type of stuff, but yet they're not contributing to the tax base. If they are working, it's for cash under the table, and they're not contributing to the tax base, but yet they're a drain And it's aptly marked. The locusts of Joel are upon us. And what, you know, and it's like what these people that aren't working didn't take, these other people did. And what those didn't take, these from the south are consuming. And what these from the south aren't consuming, those from the east that are pouring in are consuming. It's right out of the book of Joel, being played right before our eyes.
Well, you folks have a fine day, and we'll let you go. And it was sure good to hear from you. All right, visit with you.
Thanks for the call. Have a great weekend, brother.
Well, and, you know, you talk about these you know, aliens and this invasion that we've talked about. I mean, you know, in the last 2 days, New York has put a big move up to allow illegal immigrants to teach in public schools. And, you know, I mean, just talk about insanity. They just, what was it, 3 weeks ago, they had their first illegal immigrant that they approved him to take the bar exam. I mean...
Yeah, it's ridiculous. We got one more caller. Let's try for that, and we'll come back to this. Good morning. Thanks for holding. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yeah, good morning, Richard, and you all there at the helm.
Good morning, Joe.
Your broadcast internet as well as shortwave was out for a while out here. I think I emailed you, Jason. So
yes.
as of not last night, but the night before. It had about 6 a.m. in the morning, it started coming back on again. So, and it's been good since. So, thanks a lot.
Great. Well, I appreciate that, Joe.
Thank you.
Yeah. Good job.
Yeah, they had an internet problem at the station, and then the backup is a satellite dish feed, and when it's really cloudy, like clouds decide to park themselves over the station, then... And the internet's down. We can't get the feed into the transmitters.
Mm.
But we're looking at upgrading those dishes, Lord willing.
Yeah.
And to solve.
I heard you describing what was going on. I got into the show a little late, so. But anyway, I would like to tell you about something that happened this morning. I have a number of items for sale, and I had. Friday afternoon, I had reduced the prices on some of them, and one of them got sold. So I, this morning, I found out that it had been sold, so I went over to my desk and grabbed an old envelope in which to jot down the address to send it. And out popped $480 in cash that I thought I had thrown away and burned.
Praise God.
So I praise the Lord. That comes at a good time in the year for me, man, because I haven't been working since November.
Right.
I try to do what I can, but it's rough out here. I'm away from everything else. And it's travel time is at a premium, you know. My old pickety up truck is 10 years old, and it's showing its age. So I just thought I'd share that with you guys.
Because, yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Because that's awesome. Reduced the price on a sale item, you know. Because it sat on eBay for probably a month or two. Nobody was interested in it, and I dropped it. I dropped the price a couple bucks, and somebody grabbed it.
Oh, great!
And it actually find in that cash.
Amen.
That would have sat there up on that shelf for all forever, because I never used those old. You know, I saved my old envelopes for notepaper.
Joe, it's your tithing that brought that to your recollection. Had it up there the whole time, and he gave it to you when you needed it most. So, but it's because you've been faithful in your tithing, in your free will offering. So we thank you for that. And Lord, we thank you that you are a God that keeps your promises, that rebukes the devourer, and that all of the promises of Malachi 3:10 through 16 are for your people.
Amen. Amen.
Praise God. Thank you, guys. Have a good day.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you,
too. 307-745-5913, if you want to call in. And you know, that's how God works, isn't it? He is an awesome God. He comes through when he needs to. He does. He absolutely does. He's never failed me.
Yeah. Part of the way, though, that he keeps his promises, though, I believe, is through the Holy Spirit, he'll convict those that are his to do what needs to be done to fulfill the promises of those that belong to him. I don't know if that makes any sense, but I mean, once you have the gift of the Holy Spirit will convict you. You'll feel it. You'll know that there's something that you have to do, and what you have to do fulfills God's promise to that person that you're supposed to bless. Happens to me a lot.
Yeah, that's how that Holy Spirit works.
Yep.
Absolutely. Hey, I got a question for you. What does the word, when I say the word deconstructing, what comes to mind? Deconstructing.
Taking apart.
Taking apart, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, taking apart, destroying maybe. You know, constructing is building, so deconstructing would be debuilding, unbuilding, destroying.
Right.
Same prefix as destroy. Well, we're seeing these classes, and especially that was in the news a couple weeks ago up at Northwestern University, which is a university outside of Chicago. But the courses that they're offering, and they've been offering it not just there but all over, and it's called Deconstructing Whiteness. And so if you know, it's a polite way of saying destroying whiteness.
Whiteness?
Whiteness. You know, I'm white, you're white,
well,
the whiteness of us. You know, some people are black, some people are kind of Asian. We call them, you know, whatever, Asian, yellow. Some people are brown, some people are, you know. God made the different races, for sure. Red and yellow, black and white, right? But they're offering these college courses that basically are destroying whiteness, is what it is. And, you know, you hear of this white privilege, and it's kind of like just the opposite of the, you know, on the Facebook that I think one of you mentioned earlier, you know, Black Lives Matter, but we need to destroy whiteness. And anyway, it's just, you know, there's a whole nother generation of, and it's God's people as well as the mixed multitudes that are here, that this is what they are being taught. You know, that there's this great number of unearned privileges that just white Americans have, and anyway, I don't know if all the universities are teaching these deconstructing whiteness classes, you know, and they say, have you asked these questions? What does it mean to be white, or how can I talk about race without being labeled a racist? And it's just a further destruction. A planned and forced destruction of a certain people.
Yep, absolutely. I don't know if you guys have noticed lately, but there's another big push on vaccines again. In fact, I read an article this morning. There's a bill going through the Colorado, I guess it already passed the House and heading to the Senate, to require those who refuse to vaccinate their children, for those children to be registered. Sound familiar? Sound a little bit like the gun registration laws?
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing is, I don't watch the X-Files, but I've been told that they just had a special 6-part series. And the reality of that was, remember how our pastor taught us the rules of warfare? Was they have to tell you what their plan was. Well, basically, it was a pandemic, and
it was showing, I guess, let's see here. There was the producer was quoted as saying, the truth revealed is the end. And then it said, I don't know if we have ever had an episode in the mythology that's been quite as important to humanity and to the world. The stakes have never been higher. They won't know what hit them. But anyways, I was also reading that there's something called, what's it called, the Nalgene or something? Let me see if I can find it here. Oh, Nagalese. They've proven that there's this substance called Nagalese being put in the vaccinations, and the whole point of that is to destroy the immune system. And they've,
yeah, that's what that's doing, and there's and it's being directly related to cancer.
Right, exactly. It stops the
anti-cancer cells from forming and allows cancer just to flourish.
Yep.
And it's been proven. I mean, it's in there. And basically, the interesting thing is the doctors, everybody's heard about the doctors, the alternative medicine doctors that ended up dead in Florida, dead or missing. I think that counts up to 15 or 16 of them just in the state of Florida alone. 15 alternative medicine doctors who were fighting the establishment. The interesting thing is this is what they were studying. They all knew each other. And they were all studying these Nagalese cells that were in the vaccines, and they were getting ready, and they were pulled together, and they were going to fund and go out and publish information, basically talk about, you know, these vaccines are killing people, and you know that it's these vaccines, they've morphed them into something that's so much more, and they've taken them, you know, from even the simplest vaccine, and they've started putting these in it. And, you know, they're saying, you know, it might not affect you right now, it might not affect you, you know, even in this year, but they said that there is 100% guarantee that if you take this vaccine, that you will get cancer, and, you know, and how it can accelerate cancer if there's already some cancer cells in your body. That's what they ended up doing, and that's what they were researching, and they all end up dead. I mean, or missing and just, you know, vanish off the face of the earth. Now, you can't tell me that that's just, you know, some kooky conspiracy.
Coincidence, yeah. It's not, it is interesting. I also read that if you go to the doctor, I mean, most of us don't, but if you do and you refuse the flu shot, they want you to sign a form now that you've, a concession form or whatever it is that you refused the vaccination. Well, that's just another form of putting you on the list. But yeah, this is it's real for sure.
Yeah.
I was reading too that there's really no doubt that the rise in autism, you know, they say 1 in 80 or whatever it is, child have autism. They've proven without a shadow of a doubt they kept it pretty much from the people, but basically, as soon as they get that shot, these children go into screaming fits that may last 24 hours, and they call the doctors, and the doctors say, yeah, well, that's part of the side effects, this and that. But what they've proven is that these vaccines that they're giving them, I forget what the exact one is that's causing most of the issues, but basically causes the brain to swell and push against the skull, which causes the brain damage and ultimately this autism. But the other thing that they proved, I don't know if you saw that, Jason, but some of those doctors were proven that if you can reverse that Nalgene or whatever it is through holistic and natural herbs and things, that you can actually reverse the effects of cancer and of the
autism.
Yeah, it was an amazing article.
Yeah.
We have a book available. It's not really one we carry on the ministry, but it's one that I think they've mentioned it in the past on the God's Home Healthcare program, and it's one that's available, and it's called Healing the Symptoms known as autism. It's not a book we really carry, but it is available. You can find it online. And if that's something that interests you out there, folks, you can contact us, and we can at least get you pointed in that right direction. And you're absolutely right, John. You know, my oldest son is 26 years old, and when he was born, the word autism was not in the vocabulary here in this country. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was not something that the doctors talked to you about as a new parent. It was not. And it's been since then that, you know, what do? They bring it into the public consciousness. You know, they showed they made the movie, I think it was called Rain Man, with Dustin Hoffman.
Yeah.
And what that did is that got the people thinking about it. Well, see, that was the introduction. That was the nose of the camel into the tent, to where they could say, oh, this is out there, and it's been out there. Well, no, it hasn't been out there. The odds were astronomical that someone would be born like that, you know. Occasionally you would have especially in the black races, every now and then you would have someone that would be born that today you would call them autism, but they would call them a savant or something like that. It was almost like they were borderline genius in one area, but they didn't have any social skills and, you know, might drool or whatever in another. Savant-garde, or I don't know the terminology, but they, you know, you every now and then you would have somebody like that. And it was so rare that it was not part of the public consciousness. It wasn't. But in the last generation, they've increased these vaccinations, and you're absolutely right. It is a caused thing. It is planned warfare, and it's working very effectively for our enemy in destroying, in deconstructing whiteness. Because guess what? And I don't want to just throw a number out, but the majority, in the 80-90 percentile of what children get autism now, the Chinese aren't getting autism, and the Japanese kids aren't getting autism, and for the most part, the black kids aren't. Guess what kids are? Guess what race gets autism the most?
Iranian?
Nope. You know, it's the Caucasian children.
Yeah. And well, you got to realize, too, that the people who oppose vaccines, the people who understand that these things that most people call conspiracy theories are real, are the white Anglo-Saxon Christian people.
Yeah.
They're the ones, and that's why. And we're the ones, you know, that we cling to our guns and our Bibles, absolutely, because that's what our Lord told us to do.
Yeah.
But first and foremost, we know that it's nothing but the blood of Jesus that's
going to
protect us.
Absolutely.
Nothing but our faith. It's nothing but the leading of the Holy Spirit guiding and directing us, showing us what it is that we're to do to survive these things that are coming, because they are coming, and they're coming fast.
Yeah.
And they understand that.
They do.
And they know that we're the only force that can stop them through our faith in Jesus Christ. They know that.
Yeah. You know, Revelations 12 talks about the woman Israel. And it's the true Israel. It's not the Israelites that call themselves liars by their, you know, it'd be like if you had certain Americans that now they called themselves American eyes, American lies. You know, it's ridiculous. It's right there. It's plain as the nose on a certain race's face. But Revelation 12 talks about that. And in Revelation 12:11, it talks about those that overcame. And if you read the last little bit of verse 10, it says, "Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, he who accuses them before our God day and night." And we know who the kingdom of our God and the authority is. Of course, that's Jesus Christ. And yes, we know who the accuser is. That's Satan, the devil of old, the dragon, the demon of old. Verse 11, and they overcame him, meaning the Christians. The remnant overcame Satan because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. Definitely that blood was shed. And Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, when he shed his blood, it saved us from our sins, from our sicknesses. And because of that, he overcame death and allows us to overcome death as well. But we have to share in his death, to share in the glory of his resurrection. And how do we overcome? Because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And it says they did not love their life even when faced with death. Because when you've overcome something, you don't fear it anymore. And when you've overcome death, as Christ did, well, he certainly didn't fear it in the first place. But he overcame it so that we don't have to fear it. Anyway, that verse has kind of been stepping out more and more. Because we are to have, you know, and it's not that we got to get on the radio and give our testimony, but it's that's how we overcome, by because we claim him. And you know, this gospel, it's too good to keep it in. You got to share it. You really do. Well, let's try the phone lines again. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Oh, good morning. This is Mark.
Good morning, Mark.
Hey, good morning. Hey, you know, I was looking at the scripture in Revelation where it talks about those who say that they're Yehuda or Yahudim or Judah and lie in Anath of the synagogue of Satan. Well, the Apostle Paul talks about that, and he says he refers to that as blaspheme of the Holy Spirit. And that's a teaching that's not understood by a lot of people, but it's called blaspheme of the Holy Spirit, and it kind of goes back to Ananias and Sapphira when they stood before the Apostle Peter and they tried to deceive, and they both fell down dead at his feet and were carried out and buried. But that's what the Apostle Paul warns about. He says that these people who commit blaspheme of the Holy Spirit are those who lie and say that they are from the tribe of Judah, and they are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. And that's a sin that cannot be forgiven, is blaspheme of the Holy Spirit.
Well, that for sure. The Gospels tell us that. The Scriptures tell us that all sins can be forgiven except that one. I'm not familiar where the Apostle Paul ties those two together and defines that way.
You can look into that. I would advise you to look into that and examine it and pray that the Holy Spirit, you know, reveal that, because that's what he's tying it into. And we have a lot of these Christian pastors that are doing that, and they're pointing their finger and they're saying that these people are Israel, and they might be doing it out of ignorance, because the Word of God says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. But at the same time, if they're warned and they ignore the warning,
yep,
then they could be considered guilty.
Well, absolutely. They're they're either a deceiver, or they are deceived. But either way, it ends up, you might even say, as in the words of Christ, it's the blind leading the blind, and they both fall in the pit. The truth is out there. If the people want to look for it, if they're called for it, to look, the truth is there. The truth of this, the biblical principle of by their fruits you shall know them, should apply. Again, that's one of the reasons that we encourage our the people to read the Bible, because once you have a couple of key elements, once you kind of understand a couple of key elements there, and the pastor spent 30 plus years teaching and preaching on it. We have a little booklet, Remnant. I know there's many maybe tuning in that might not be following this train of thought, but we have a little booklet the pastor wrote, and it's called The Greatest Discovery of Our Age. And that greatest discovery is that this book is not written about some people in a far-off land, a long time ago, far, far away. That's not what this book is about. This book is about his people, and it goes in to explain who his people are and who they aren't. And that is one of the keys to understanding the Bible, who his people are and who his people aren't.
One more thing I just wanted to share real quick was that in Matthew, it talks about Matthew 24, when Jesus said, not one stone be left upon another. A lot of people think that this place called the Temple Mount is where the temple was, but that's not. That's the Fort of Antonio, and the people that call themselves Jews who bow down to this wailing wall or this hotel, this wall over there, this western wall, they're bowing down to a Roman fort. That's not where the temple was. The real temple is a quarter mile west, southwest of the Wailing Wall. And if you go out, if you go on Google, I don't know if you can Google it or not, but if you go a quarter mile southwest of there, you'll see where the five valleys come together, and there's not one stone left upon another. And they won't build anything there because it's been known that fires come up out of there. And in one of the books I had where it talks about the priests, the Levites that were involved in the crucifixion of Jesus, that same day that Jesus died on the cross, fire came up out of the temple and devoured 400 priests, burned them alive.
Well, hey, thanks for your call. Appreciate it.
Yeah, take care. Right. Bye-bye.
307-745-5913. I have a few minutes left here this Saturday morning, February 27th. Now, you may hear this broadcast. We replayed over the weekend. We replayed again on Monday night, on a different frequency for those that can't join us on Saturday morning. So you might hear it then. And the call-in number won't work then. But if you want to call us at the office, our office number, different than the call-in, but the office number, 307-742-7582. If you want to, you might want our catalog. We've still got a real catalog slam full of the pastor's teaching, slam full of the gospel, books and Bibles and CDs and DVDs, teachings. We'd be glad to send you one. Well, guys, as we're wrapping up, any closing thoughts for the remnant here this last 6 or 8 minutes?
Yeah, I was looking, along the same lines of what we've been talking about with vaccines. Immediately after the passage of SB 277 in California, the state Secretary of Health and Human Services, Diane F. Dooley, announced that all California children should be injected with mercury vaccines because the state ran out of mercury-free vaccines. The CDC openly admits that vaccines contain multiple brain-damaging chemicals, adjuvants, and preservatives, including neurotoxic mercury, aluminum, MSG, and formaldehyde. Yeah, I mean, our own CDC.
So we got mercury vaccines that cause children to get autism, death, cause their brain swelling, and then we have mercury vaccines that contain the mercury that cause autism and their brains to swell and for them to get sick and die. And, to me, that's like getting shot with a lead-free bullet or a leaded bullet. Now, I don't really, I would just assume prefer not to get shot with a bullet, but a 230-grain bullet going at 1,000 feet per second is going to do some damage. Now, it really don't matter if it's the lead-free version or if it's the leaded version. I mean, the lead-free version might go right through, make a smaller hole, and the leaded version, might expand out a little bit more. But when it's said and done, you're still going to be dead.
Yeah. Well, if you wonder why they want your gun so bad, that's why. Because they know that if they come and try to give those who understand the truth, their children, these shots forcibly, then they're going to get a shot. And they can choose 223 or 308, but one way or another, they ain't going to vaccinate our children.
Yeah, amen. And that's one of the things that, you know, I mean, we talk about, waking up people, you know, and you just, I mean, can you imagine, you know, and maybe it's the way that we should start praying, but if every person out there, I mean, a lot of these people that have autistic children, that have children that have been affected by these vaccines, still don't know it. And can you imagine if all of a sudden everybody woke up and they knew that, you know, their child that they've been caring for 10 years or 20 years or, you know, however long it's been, you know, that's been autistic, that it was caused by a vaccination and a doctor lied to him. And all of a sudden, if everyone knew that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, remember Eustace Mullins' book, Murder by Injection.
Yep.
You know, that's one of the best books around, I think, as far as exposing.
It is. That's, you know, that's one of the books
that plan behind it.
So long ago that this, I mean, and we still carry it on the ministry, but we got that book from this ministry over 20 years ago. And it was one that really opened our eyes. Well, guys, we're just about out of time. I think we could pray. We can pray Scripture, can't we? And it isn't Scripture God's will. So why don't we do that? We'll go out with this. Isaiah 52, awake, awake. Awake, people. Clothe yourself in your strength, O Zion. Clothe yourself in your beautiful garments. And, of course, those garments are the garments of Christ. They certainly are. And we are to clothe ourselves in Christ. And so, Lord, we pray, as the men said earlier, Lord, as the men said, awaken your people. Awaken them to the war that is being waged against them. Awaken them, Lord. And let them be clothed in Christ. We know that will further your kingdom. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, guys, we're out of time.
Amen.
Thank everybody for joining us. We encourage you to come to church tomorrow. I think John's got John, you've got a Sunday school message. I think that'll take that first 25 minutes, huh? In the morning?
Yeah.
Yep. So we encourage you to join us tomorrow morning. Come to church with us. We've got some brethren from Nebraska coming over, going to join us tomorrow. 10 a.m. Mountain Time, 11 a.m. Central, noon on the East Coast. If you can't come in person, you can join us at the website, scriptures4america.org. And again, our address, if you want to write, Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535.
Rolling, 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 rolling. Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, stay high.
Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out. Ride them out, ride them more,
stay high.
Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride. They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake high. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting.
be waiting at the end of our ride.